Morning. Good morning again to some of you, and good morning for the first time to others, but good to see you. As always, a privilege to be here, and a privilege to remember the Lord Jesus with you this morning, and I'm thankful, too, that I know any Sunday I come, I'm going to get to remember the Lord Jesus with you, but only once a year could I see those graduates come up here. So that was a special opportunity. I was here on the right day for that and to celebrate with Betty and Matthew, and I extend my congratulations as well and my prayers as you move on into your lives. That's exciting to see how the Lord is using you. I'm going to ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, I was had a meeting Monday with a brother in the Lord that I had known years ago, and we somewhat reconnected and get together occasionally for some fellowship, and the Lord's really working in his life, and it's been exciting to see that, what the Lord has brought him from and brought him to. And we were talking about a variety of things regarding the Lord, and one of the things that came up was the love of God and the impact that God's love for us should have on us. And that's a pretty simple concept. I could definitely share that with the children, and it would be very appropriate. But I started thinking about that. And just thinking about the love of God and His love for me and His love for us. And, of course, there is so much in the Word of God about the love of God. As we go through the Scriptures, we find that time and again, the word love. And, of course, also the truth of God's love. Even when the word is not there, we see the truth of God's love. And that love has just poured out into many lives, and it's been extended out in many ways. I think of all the poems that have been written about the love of God, all the songs that have been written about God's love, articles and blogs and books and conversations, and we could go on and on and on. And what struck me that is understandable in one sense, or as in maybe I should say in as well known as the love of God is, it can become, like many other things, something that we take for granted, something that we just know is there, and something that we understand has impacted our lives, but something that maybe is not impacting our lives as much as it should or could. I know that eternity is not going to exhaust our discussion of the appreciation of God's love for us. So you may get tired of me talking about it today, but when we get to heaven, I'm going to be able to talk about it, and you'll never be bored with what I'm saying or how I'm saying it. I don't think you'll be bored with what I'm saying because we're talking about the love of God, but how I'm saying it may put you to sleep. But we get to heaven, that won't occur, and we're going to be able to talk for all eternity about the love of God, and we're never going to exhaust that wonderful topic. So I want us just to start this morning, if we could, in Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read the first 10 verses, but there's one verse, verse 4, and really one phrase in verse 4 that I want us to concentrate on this morning. But for context, we'll start with verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 2. "And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved,
and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. As I read that passage, my first temptation is to throw my notes away and just to talk about these 10 verses. So much there. Powerful. I want us to think a little bit about that phrase in verse 4. His great love with which he loved us. His great love with which he loved us. And I'm going to turn that just for a brief moment in quoting that to adjust the wording, not to change scripture, but to make it apply to you. His great love with which he loved you. He loved you. And he does love us. And that's what the scripture says, and that encompasses everyone. This was written specifically to those who know the Lord Jesus as Savior. And we know that there is a way in which God loves us that is unique to those who know the Lord Jesus. But we also know that the love of God is not limited to those who know Him personally. God's love extends beyond that. And so if you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I trust that the comments that we make on the love of God, on His great love with which He loved you, will impact your heart and your life. And for those of us who do know the Lord Jesus, as we're reminded again of that simple truth that we sang about when we were little children and sometimes still do, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. We're going to look at the Word of God this morning and be reminded again of His great love. But not just His great love. That's a wonderful topic. That's a wonderful truth. We could take that little phrase, His great love, and that would be a wonderful thing to discuss. But we're looking at this whole phrase, His great love with which He loved us. Don't you love the way that the Spirit of God led Paul to write that? And not just His great love, not just the great love of God. That's wonderful. But it's the great love of God with which God loved us, with which God loved you, and with which God loves you. That's the love we want to talk about this morning. This morning I want to narrow the infinite love of God down to 5 reasons that God's love for us is great. And I'd like to do that against the backdrop of the ocean. I'm not going to ask how many of you like to go to the beach, because some of you might not raise your hand and you just like really mess my whole message up. So I'm going to act like all of you love the ocean. I know you've all seen the ocean. You've all heard the ocean. You've all smelled the ocean. A lot of us have tasted the ocean. We usually didn't want to, but we were body surfing and we got some up our nose or in our mouth and we tasted the ocean. We've experienced the ocean. And I want that to be our backdrop this morning. Several years ago, I was up at Mountaintop Youth Camp for the Excel Week, and I was introduced to a song which has really stayed with me. And I'm not going to sing it for you this morning, but I just want to quote a little bit of it. And the part that I want us to focus on just for a moment here is this, and it goes like this. It's a song that we're singing to the Lord. And it says, and your love in wave after wave crashes over me. Your love, the great love of God with which He loved us. The songwriter said, I experience that love of God, and it's crashing over me, not just in a wave. That would be wonderful. It'd be wonderful if just a little drop, and in fact, in Luke 16, the man who is separated from God in hell looks at Abraham and said, if you could just bring a drop of water and put it on my tongue, that would mean so much to me. You know what? If I could only have one drop of the love of God placed on my tongue, that would impact my life and my eternity more than I could begin to tell you. But that's not the way God has loved us. No, God loves us in a way in which His love crashes over us. But it's not just in a wave. And again, that would be wonderful. If God loved me and let a wave of His love crash over me and wash me, I would be so grateful for all eternity. But that's not the way that God's great love loves us. God's great love loves us, crashing over us in wave after wave, after wave, after wave, after wave. And often I've sat at the edge of the Atlantic Ocean and watched a wave come in, and another wave come in, and another wave. And another wave come in, beyond my comprehension that never ceases but continues to come. Yes, some of those waves are larger than others. Some of them extend further than others. But when I'm there at the edge of the ocean, or when I make my way out into the water, those waves continue to come. And God's love, His great love with which He loved us, in wave after wave, crashes over me and crashes over you. It reminds me of another song. This song was written in 1904. It was written during the Welsh Revival, and it is sometimes referred to as the love song of the Welsh Revival. William Rees wrote it in Welsh. It was later translated by William Williams into the English. And I just want to read two of the verses to you. It says, here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood, when the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us His precious blood. Who His love will not remember? Who can cease to sing His praise? He can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days. On the Mount of Crucifixion, fountains opened deep and wide. Through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love, like mighty rivers, poured incessant from above. And heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love. Matt Redman, who's a songwriter over in England, recently took that song and kept the tune and the words and sang that, but added a little chorus to it. It goes like this: no love is higher, no love is wider, no love is deeper, no love is truer, no love is like Your love, O Lord. That's the love of God. And that's the backdrop of that ocean, the ocean of God's love. It pours down from above. So let's just meditate, if we could, in the time that we have on five of the infinite number of reasons that God's love for us is great. First, God's love for us is great. The love with which He has loved us is great because it is unconditional. It's unconditional. To be unconditional means, obviously, to not be limited by conditions. It's absolute. If someone loves you unconditionally, they do not say or insinuate that if you do this, I will love you. Or as long as you are like this, I will love you. But rather, the love that's unconditional and the love with which God loves us says, I love you. It's nothing to do with you. It's not dependent on you. Your performance is not involved. Your character is not even involved. Your appearance has nothing to do with it. God says, I love you. If you go to the beach, have you ever noticed that the waves are not dependent on you? If you go into your hotel room or cottage or tent or RV or car or whatever, however you got there, wherever you're staying, the waves keep coming. They keep coming. In fact, you could go out into the waves and you could stand there and you could get a firm standing and you could look at the waves and put out your hand and say, stop! They're not even going to slow down. Much less stop. They're going to keep coming and they're going to hit your hand and hit you and they're going to keep going by. You're not going to be able to stop the waves. A wave can come by and you can punch it as hard as you can or slap it with your open hand and the wave just keeps coming. You see, it's not conditioned on you. It has nothing to do with you. The wave is continuing to come no matter what. And you could get a large group of people. You could call together everybody on the beach and say, let's all line up 5 feet out into the ocean and let's stop these waves. And you know as well as I do that that's not going to stop the waves. They're going to continue to come because it's not conditioned on us. In God's great love, with which He loves you and with which He loved you, does not depend on you. You know, God loved you before you ever did anything good. And I'm going to put good in quotation marks because the Bible says there's none who does good. But before you ever did anything good, and we read here in verse 10 that we in the Lord Jesus have been created in Christ Jesus for good works. But before I had done any good work in Christ Jesus, before I had done anything good, God loved me. Look here in Ephesians. Look over in chapter 1 in verse 4. We'll start in verse 3 to get the context. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Before you ever did anything good, God loved you. It's not because of anything good you would ever do that God loved you. But not only did He love you before you did anything good, God still loves you after you do anything bad. Look over at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and Paul finishes up by the Spirit of God this beautiful chapter that brings before us the Holy Spirit of God and the victory that we can have over sin by the Spirit of God, and how He will bring us through times of suffering and difficulty, because he knows us. He's predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. And notice what he says in verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, if you are in Christ Jesus our Lord, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing that you can do is going to separate you from Him. Now, if you're here this morning, you've never believed on the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You've never accepted the one who is love, the one who loved you with this great love. If you have resisted that love and you have not received His Son who died for you according to the Scriptures and was buried and rose again the third day for you according to the Scriptures and was seen, so that you would know that He is alive and that His death for you, God accepts that as sufficient payment for your sins. And the only other payment that God will accept is for you to spend eternity separated from Him in the lake of fire. If you've never believed on the Lord Jesus, God is calling out to you with His great love to come to the Lord Jesus. By faith, not by doing something good, not by changing yourself, but rather by believing on the Lord Jesus and receiving Him as your Savior by grace through faith, as we read in Ephesians chapter 2. Because it's not about you, it's not of you. Rather, it's the gift of God. It's not of works. It's unconditional love. It says, believe on my Son. Trust Him as your Savior, and you will be saved. Oh, as John says in his first letter, chapter 3 and verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. What an amazing love. This is that great love with which God loved us. That great love with which God loved you. It's the love that brought you from being the enemy of God by our nature and our practice into a relationship where God says, you are my son, you are my daughter, and nothing can separate you from my love for you, which is in my Son, the Lord Jesus. You see, God's love for you is unconditional. God loves you much more than you can even imagine or ever imagine. I don't even think in heaven we're really going to be able to fully comprehend the love that God has for us. We're going to be learning that for all eternity. It's an infinite love. And we're going to have an infinite amount of, quote, time, if you want to call it time. We're going to have eternity to be continuing to learn about this great love with which God loved us. We're going to continue to say, wow, I worship you, Lord. Thank you for loving me. You love me much more than I could even imagine and much more than I ever imagined. Thank you for your love. God's love for us is amazing. God loves you just the same, regardless of how you behave. It's been said that God can't love you any more and He won't love you any less. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less. Because God is love. Secondly, God's love is so great because it's unfathomable. By the way, I never told you the title of this time together, and it's What's So Great About God's Love? Well, one thing that's so great about God's love is unconditional. A second thing about God's love that's so great is unfathomable. The definition of unfathomable is not able to be fathomed. That's a pretty impressive definition. Now you're clear, now you got it, right? Or we might say completely understood. It's not able to be completely understood. Fathom as a noun means a unit of length equal to 6 feet. And fittingly, it's mainly used in nautical measurements. So here we are in the ocean of God's love. How vast that ocean. And we find that God's love is unfathomable. As a verb, to fathom means to measure the depth of by means of a sounding line. A weighted line with distances marked off at regular intervals, and it would be used primarily to measure the depth of water under a boat. And so you would continue to put that rope down until it stopped, and you could tell, okay, it's reached the bottom, I've got some slack now. And you know, that's how deep the water is. There's a place in the South Pacific Ocean where there are waves, not so much above the surface, though they're probably there too, but I'm talking about some ocean waves that are 3 miles beneath the surface. So think about that. 3 miles below the surface of the ocean, there are waves, and those waves are 800 feet tall. 800 feet tall. So let's just imagine for a moment that you had the opportunity and the lack of sense to go out there and go down 3 miles and say, I'm going to body surf on some of those waves. I'm going to get on an 800-foot wave and I'm going to surf that bad boy as far as I can go. So you get down there, and while you're there, you take along your trusty sounding line, all right? You got that saying, I don't think I'll check out the depth here. So you start letting that thing down, and it's going, and it's going, and it's going. And you think, you know what? I don't have enough line to get to the bottom of this wave. It's too deep. It's too deep. And you know what? That's the depth of God's love for you. It's beyond your full comprehension. You cannot get to the bottom of it. And the reason you can't get to the bottom of it is nothing about you. It's not that you're incapable because of who you are. No, the reason you can't get to the bottom of the love of God is because there's no bottom to the love of God. There's no bottom to the love of God. Go back to Ephesians. Go over to chapter 3. Chapter 3, and one of the two prayers of Paul in Ephesians. One is there in chapter 1, beyond where we read. The other is here in chapter 3. A beautiful study, the prayers of Paul in the New Testament epistles. But we're gonna jump in here for sake of time. Let's go to verse 18. He's praying that they and we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. He said, I want you to know the width and the length and the depth and the height of this great love with which God loved us. I want you to know that love. But understand this. You can't fully know it. Why? Because it's beyond comprehension. He wants you to know it, but it passes knowledge. It passes complete knowledge because it's unfathomable. It's unfathomable. As I said before, God loves you much more than you can even imagine. That's the love of God. It's unfathomable. What's so great about God's love? It's unconditional. It's unfathomable. Thirdly, it's unmistakable. It's unmistakable. And when I say that, I mean that it's clear and it's obvious. You know, I don't know that any of us are oceanographers in here. But even though we're not experts on the ocean, none of us, I don't think, would get an ocean wave confused with a sound wave. And we wouldn't confuse it with a light wave or a radio wave, even though all of those waves have some similarities. There are some fundamental principles and properties that are true for any wave. But an ocean wave is unmistakable. For one thing, it's in the ocean. There is conclusive evidence that this wave that just crashed over me is not a sound wave. It's not a radio wave. It's not a microwave. No, this is an ocean wave that just hit me. There's conclusive evidence in God's love for you. That great love with which God loves you stands alone from all other loves for you. I hope that you have experienced in your life deep love from someone else. I hope that you have experienced that. And you may be sitting here saying, you know, I believe that I've been loved more than anybody in this room has been loved. Maybe anybody in the world has been loved. I have someone who loves me. Maybe it's a parent or a child or a spouse or someone else. They love me. But you know, that love, as wonderful as it may be, God's love is so far beyond that. It's unmistakable. It stands out apart from all other loves for us. As Matt Redman added to that song, "Love Vast as the Ocean," he says, "No love is like your love, O Lord." But yet sometimes I think that we minimize the love of God because we are only experiencing it in relation to what we understand is the love of another person for us. And we can learn from the love of others for us, praise God, and we should because God has told us to love like He loves, but still, there is no love for you like the love of God. Look at Galatians. Back one book here, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. One of the many examples of the love of God and if in no other way we can understand that it's unmistakable and different from the love of anyone else, we can find it here in this verse, Galatians 2 and verse 20. Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." And no matter who has loved you and no matter how they have given themselves for you, no one has given him or herself for you like the Lord Jesus gave Himself for you. Because He, though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor. He came down and lived here upon this earth, though He didn't have to do that. He came and in grace and love, He gave Himself for you. He gave His physical life. He gave His spiritual life. He was made sin for you, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That you might be declared right and just before God, not because of what you had done, but because of what the Lord Jesus had done. And you had received the Lord Jesus, and in doing so, you received all that He is for you. He has been made for us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. You see, God's love for you is not limited by your experience of being loved by others. God's love for you is unmistakable. It stands out. God's love for you is great. Another reason that it's great, it's undeniable. You see, God's love for you cannot honestly be disputed. Now, someone can stand on the shore and they can say, there are no waves in the ocean. They can say that with great conviction. They can say that loudly. They can say that with convincing arguments. But the reality is that there are still waves and they're still coming in. And their denial of that is either dishonest or foolish, because there is clear evidence that the waves are there. And God's great love for you cannot be honestly denied, because there is clear evidence that God's love for you is there. I have a physical brother who is not a spiritual brother. And sometimes I tell him that I love him, but he doesn't believe that. He denies that. But that doesn't change the fact that I love him, does it? He can believe it or not believe it. And someone can believe or not believe the love of God. And they can say, well, I don't think God really loves me, because if he really loved me, he wouldn't allow this to happen in my life. He wouldn't allow me to go through this. He wouldn't answer my prayer in the way that I'm praying if he really loved me. But that's overlooking the obvious. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You can say God doesn't love me. God doesn't love me as much as he loves someone else, or God doesn't love me like he used to. You can say that, but it doesn't change the fact that God's love is undeniable. He's made that so clear. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, God's love for you is not diminished by your doubt. Is not diminished by your misunderstanding of his love. There's comfort in that. God's love is undeniable. And finally, as we close, God's great love for you is great because it's uncontainable. It's uncontainable. It's not able to be restrained or checked or controlled. You can take your bucket out into the ocean and say, I'm going to catch the wave. And you might catch a little bit of that wave, but you can't contain the wave in the ocean. You can't do that. And you see, God's love for you is his very essence and character. In 1 John 4:16, we read that we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. You see, that's his character, that's his essence. You can't control that, and you can't contain that. His love is infinite. It can't be contained. All of his love cannot be contained in space or time. In other words, you can't keep it to yourself. Romans 5:5 says the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And if you and I go out into the wave, or you stand behind me and that wave hits me, some of that's going to splash off of me onto you. And God's great love for you is not contained by you. God's great love for you is, as it were, splashing off of you onto people near you. Now, I can impact maybe how much of that love is splashing onto them. But it's uncontainable. The great love with which God loves you, it's unconditional, it's unfathomable, it's unmistakable, it's undeniable, it's uncontainable, and it's so much more. I want to encourage each of us to allow these waves of God, these waves of God's love to crash over us, knowing that they're coming one after another. It's wave after wave. There's no love higher. There's no love wider. There's no love deeper. There's no love truer. There's no love like the love of God for you. And He wants that to splash off of you, splash off of me, onto those around us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love. Lord, there is no love like Your love. Father, we thank You for that great love with which You have loved us, that though we were dead in trespasses and sins, in Your mercy, You gave Your Son. Father, You gave Him to become sin for us, to raise Him from the dead, to have victory over sin and death and the grave and hell, that we might know You, that we might more greatly experience and appreciate that wonderful love that crashes over us in wave after wave after wave after wave. Lord, may we appreciate it afresh. May it impact us in a fresh way. Father, we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, Your Son. Amen. Amen.